Hello and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download them from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of our church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
But I am really excited about what God's going to do in our future. And one of the joys I have is gathering a team together, talking about what we'd like to do in the next season, praying about it, believing God for it. And then I get to share it with you. And we call it Vision Sunday. And we talked last week about having a year of parties. We have a party every single week, starting from our birthday in April, which is going to be amazing. We talked about going to two services, which happens next week. So that's great. We talked about North Preston. We talked about going on mission. And I encourage all of us to think about going on mission. Locally, North Preston's kicking off. There's a Northeast, and there's a trip to Chile. Next year, there'll be a compassion trip. There's a few of us about to head off to India. We just love giving all of us the chance to experience something that we've never experienced before and see what God is doing around the world. And just get our hearts broken a little bit for the lost and the broken and the needy. And we talked about a new partnership, Hope for Justice and the Tough Mudder. I actually talked to Mark this morning about the Tough Mudder dinner. And I'm not sure if you encouraged me or put me off, sir. But I'm still undecided. I think, though, I'm going to have to go and talk to my chiropractor before I have a go. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. But there'll be some more information coming out in the next couple of weeks about that. It does sound fun. It does sound a long way, though. Yeah. Anyway. But vision's really important for us as human beings. And it doesn't matter whether it's a vision that for church. Remember what a vision is. A vision is a preferred picture of the future that produces passion. A preferred picture of the future that produces passion in our hearts. It causes something to stir in our hearts to want to go after it. That's what a vision. And it just doesn't matter whether it's church life or in your own personal life. You need... I mean, we often call them hopes and dreams, right? But it's the same thing. I dream that I might manage to do this or that or the other. It might be to do with family or career or health-wise, something. You know, some of you men out there are dreaming one day of having a six-pack around your middle. Yes? And about, I'm not sure, do any of you have six-packs? No. Perhaps Dave Parkinson, do you have a six-pack? And a little bit of flap, but apart from that. You know, we all have hopes and dreams. We all have visions of what we hope we might achieve in the future. And that's good, because without it, the Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 18, that where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. Or the older version says, where there's no vision, the people perish. If you haven't got something to aim for, something that you're going to do, something that you're longing to do, actually it's really hard as a human being to live life and to live it well, to live it with passion and commitment, to have purpose, to believe that you're making a difference with every step of your life. And life gets mundane, you wonder why you're here and all the rest of it. It's why, in one sense, why we exist as a church. And it's why the world desperately needs great churches to tell them the good news about Jesus. It is no surprise, in my mind, that mental health is deteriorating in the world. It's no surprise that people are wondering why they exist. And that's causing all sorts of issues. Why? Because without the hope of eternity in somebody's life, what's the point of living? If you get told enough times that actually your life in the long term has no particular point, and eventually the whole of mankind will get wiped out by a supernova and we will then cease to exist, you wonder, well, what's the point of doing anything at all? And then once you get into that cycle, it's really hard to do anything at all. You see, the church brings hope. We believe that the world was made by God, that we were created on purpose, to worship him, but also for purpose here on earth. And if we can reconnect with that purpose, then our lives have double meaning, a meaning here on earth and also an eternal meaning. And that hope is something that the church can give the world. And it's important that they have that. But that aside, all of us need a vision, a hope, some dreams in our life that we are going for. And I hope you have some hopes and dreams in your life. If not, the challenge from this message is this: go home, figure out some hopes and dreams, and then go after them. And then go after them. And you see, the Bible has much to say about hopes and dreams and visions that we should have as Christians, that we should have as people, and about how to hone them and about how to think through them. But I'm not going to talk about that today. That's for another message another day. But it also has lots to say about how to put your hopes and dreams, your visions, into reality. And I want to talk about that today. And I have a number of points. It's one of those messages, for those of you who've been here a while, I might not actually get all the way through. But you don't mind that, right? As long as I'm interesting and fun, it'll be fine if I shut up before I finish. Yeah, is that good? Excellent. So my plan is to try and at least share a few, I think, principles that the Bible talks in helping us if we're going to fulfill our hopes and dreams, the visions we have in our life. And you might say, well, you know, Pastor Ed, I'm not sure I follow Jesus yet. I'm not sure that the Bible is true yet. That's okay. I believe that this can still help you fulfill the hopes and dreams that God has placed in your heart already for your career and your family and for your health and for other things. So are you ready? Are you awake? Excellent. Good. Any rugby fans? England didn't do very well. Oh, you don't care. You're an Irish fan. You're an Irish fan. I'm a Liverpool fan. Anyway, number one, Matthew 14. I've picked my top few, all right? So Matthew chapter 14 is one of my all-time favorite stories in the Bible because it's crazy. And it goes like this, Matthew 14, verse 22. It should come up behind me, all being well. It says this: immediately, Jesus just fed the 5,000, by the way. So he's just done the miracle of feeding the 5,000 with five barley loaves and two fish. And then it says, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. Don't have time to kind of really enjoy the miracle, guys. Next job's beckoning, off we go. It's funny, isn't it? Anyway, so they jumped in the boat while he dismissed the crowd. So he sent the crowd away and they jumped in the boat and set off to the side. After he dismissed them, Jesus went up on a mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already considerable distance from the land, though it was buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. So they were kind of either zigzagging across the lake or they were rowing hard against the wind. But either way, it was a tough journey so far, and Jesus was praying. During the fourth watch of the night, so kind of late on, after 3 o'clock in the morning, he says this: during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Which is cool, right? It's why it's such a cool story. It's like, I'd love to do that, and I said that before, but it's so much fun. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. Obviously. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Which must have felt a bit weird, right? Person walking on the lake. This is like it's real story, okay? It's not like Jack and Ori. Does Jack and Ori still exist? No, but who remembers Jack and Ori? Oh, actually some of the younger ones. All right, okay. Yes, remember. That's good. Anyway, this is a real story. So a real Jesus walked on a real lake, passing a real boat, and the real people in the boat were scared because they thought they saw a ghost. Then the ghost spoke to them. And he said, don't worry, it's me. And so don't be afraid. Then Peter replied, I don't want to kind of just testing Jesus, but Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Now, I just want to say, if I was going to test a ghost out, that wouldn't be my line. Would it be yours? I know you're a spooky ghost, but I tell you what, to prove it's really you, call me out to the side of the boat and I'll walk towards you. Because that's what ghosts are bound not to do. Because the ghost said, yeah, sure, come on, come on. Idiot, he's going to sink. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's funny. Because I wouldn't, I would have said, Jesus, you do some kind of miracle, do something, but not. And do you know how some people engage mouth before they think about it? That was Peter. That was Peter. And do you know, all of us sometimes, we engage mouth, action, something before we think about it, yeah? All of us. And what's really wonderful about this story is God doesn't mind at all. What he loves is action. What he loves is Peter wanted to do something. What he loved is Peter was not prepared to stay where he was. He wanted to get at something. It wasn't necessarily the right thing he wanted to get at, i.e. out of the boat, but he wanted to get at something. And Jesus very graciously says this. Come on down, he said. And then Peter got down out of the boat with the rest of the disciples, thinking that guy's and put your own ending to that sentence about Peter. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. And then it says in verse 30 that reality hit. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. He was obviously almost there because it says Jesus immediately reached out his hand, caught him, and said, you have little faith. He said, why did you doubt? You'd got so far. You'd almost made it. Why did you doubt for the last few steps? Again, that sums up so many of us, doesn't it? When we're doing something, we get so far and then we go, what am I doing? And then he climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. This is the first thing I want to say. If we're going to fulfill our dreams, our hopes, if we're going to fulfill our vision, we need to step out in faith. We need to step out in faith. Basically, we need to take some risks. We need to take some risks. New things need to happen if you're going to have a different future. And those new things will probably be a little bit scary if you've never done them before. And to be honest, it doesn't matter how big that new thing is or how small it is, it'll still be a little scary. You know, I haven't met anybody who, that's not quite true, I've probably met two or three people my entire life who enjoy walking into a brand new room while they don't know, when they don't know anybody. Most people walking into a new room where they don't know anybody are a little bit nervous because they don't know what's going to happen. Are these people going to be nice? Are they going to talk to me? Is it going to be okay? And that's relatively simple. It's like if anybody's new in this space tonight, I want to say thank you so much for coming. Why? Because I know as you came through that door, you're like, I wonder if anybody will be nice to me. I wonder if I'll be all right here. It's why church, if you're a regular person, when somebody new or newish comes, let's make them feel $1 million. Let's feel them welcome. Let's talk to them. Let's, you know, say, hey, we're so glad that you came here. Why? Because if we were in somewhere new, we would want that because it would feel scary because it was a new experience for us. You see, if we're going to step out in faith, doing new things will be scary. But you see, this is true, right? Staying comfortable is easy, but it will always restrict your future. Staying comfy is easy, but it'll always restrict your future. You see, Peter eventually became the kind of the chief of all the disciples. He became the leader of the disciples. And I believe this was the reason why Peter was willing to take risks. He was willing to do something that nobody else was doing. And therefore, God can move in. Use him to do extraordinary things and to lead his people. And I know all of us have hopes and dreams, visions that we want to fulfill, and we need to be willing to step out in faith, to take some risks. I mean, there's a young man somewhere, I think doing kids. Is that right, Maddie? He's doing kids. And you know, on Saturday, he went to the top of Beacon Fell with his parents. You weren't there, had you disappeared? Oh, you drove them there and then you let them go on their own. Oh, very brave. And not really, right? Anyway. But you know, Alex thought, you know, my future has to involve Maddie. I want her to be my wife. That's my dream. That's my hope, right? But for any young man, or old man, for the kid, didn't matter how, if he's going to see the fulfillment of that dream at some point in his life, he has to get down on one knee or something similar and say, whoever it is, in this case, Maddie. I won't say it because it just sounds weird. But so, like one day I had to say to Michelle, that sounds better. Will you marry me? And in that moment, In that moment, it doesn't matter how much he thinks he knows the girl or how much he thinks this is going to pan out okay. There's always a moment of like, I hope she says yes. I know for every man in the room who's done it, even if you're utterly convinced, there's that little, just that little moment, there's that risk, isn't there? But if you don't ask, it'll never happen. And it's the same in every area of our life. You know, if we want a family, we have to risk getting pregnant with all the dangers that happens. But without it, we'll never have any children. If we want to, you know, advance in our career, we have to take the next job up with the new responsibilities, the new things that we have to learn, the new responsibilities. We have to take the risk. We have to go into the unknown, step out of our comfort into something fresh if we're going to advance. And it's just about in every area of our life, if we're going to fulfill our hopes and dreams, both our own and those that God has for us, which are very closely aligned, we're going to have to step out of our comfort, get out of the boat, step out in faith, and take a risk. And the thing is, all of us can do it. There's none in this room that are excluded, that you can't do this. You know, I've seen people on this stage, we've asked them to speak, right? And they come up and they are literally shaking. Such is their nervous energy of doing something new. But if they don't get up and try, they will never, ever fulfill the potential in their life. And you know, our longing is, yes, that we'll fulfill the vision that God's given us as a church, sure. But actually, our vision is much bigger than that. We believe that the God-given dreams and hopes and visions that God has given you, we want to help you to fulfill that as a church. Not just in church, but in family life and in business life. And if you want to do that, you need to step out in faith and take some risks. And you know, if you're a Christian here, remember, like with Peter, if you will do it, Jesus will be with you all the way. And if by some reason you take your eyes off the ball, your eyes off Jesus, if your heart drops, Jesus is there to catch you. I love that. You know, we're planning to do 2 services and start North Preston, and we've done other things along the way. And I always know and believe that whatever is going to happen, I know that God is there to catch me, catch us as a leadership team, catch us as a church. And he'll be there to catch you, to pull you up and go, man, you almost made it, Peter. Oh, you of little faith. Did you not think I would make sure that this was all right? Because Jesus is always by our side. Well, that's the first thing that I think. The second thing is this, and found in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. And again, some of you know this story. But I'll read the first few verses and I'll fill a few bits. And it goes like this. King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar was probably one, if not the greatest of the ancient kings, definitely one of the most greatest king of the time. He conquered a vast territory, and he was rich. He was famous. He was huge. But he was a bit of a big head. In fact, it was a lot of a big head, really. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high. Now he was big everything, right? But he was definitely a big head. Oh, come on, that was funny. Yeah, you're still with me. And he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He just summoned everybody, basically. He summoned everybody and all the officials and everybody to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So everybody came, and then King Nebuchadnezzar had it set up, and everybody stood in front of it. And then in verse, including some Jews called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king said through his heralds, he said, what's going to happen is my band is going to play a cool song. I don't know if he said cool song or not, but he said a song of some kind. And when the song starts, all of you need to bow. You need to kneel before, because I, this is Nebuchadnezzar, I am like a god to you. That was his thinking. So you all need to kind of do that. The whole band started, and everybody, an entire plane, the thousands of people, all knelt down, apart from 3 people. Now, we don't know where Daniel was. We presume he was safely in the city, so he didn't have the problem. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel's three friends, the three Jews, they didn't kneel before the throne. I mean, they must have stood out. Now, Nebuchadnezzar liked these guys. These were good guys in his office. He knew them by name. And so he called them and he said, I want to give you a second chance. We'll do the whole band thing again. And then everybody else can kneel again and you must join them. If not, I'm going to throw you in the furnace. And these three guys said this, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand. Okay, what a statement of faith. You can chuck me into fire and I will be okay. I mean, these were faith-filled people, right? I'm not sure how many of you would be feeling like that if somebody threatened to throw you into a fiery anything. Yeah? Anybody want to try? We can build a bonfire outside. No. Perhaps not quite the same. Anyway. And then it says this. And then it said, verse 18, critical verse. But even if God does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. At which point, Nebuchadnezzar was seriously ticked. He told the furnace people to make it 7 times hotter, which doesn't necessarily mean 7 times hotter. It just means make it very hot. And then they bound these three guys up. The soldiers went to the edge of the furnace and they opened the doors. And as they were throwing them in, the soldiers got burned to death, which was a horrible way to go, right? Did you feel sorry about the soldiers? I mean, they were just doing as they were told. It wasn't like their fault, was it? But they got burned to death. Anyway, unlucky, I guess. And then it says this in verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, were there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth, it looks like the son of the gods. Jesus was shining like bronze. You know, like the stories that we read in Revelation, how it was probably Jesus with them, right? We don't know, but probably Jesus was there amongst them. The third person of the Godhead, the second person of the Godhead was there in them. Then Nebuchadnezzar approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And then all the people and all the royal advisors crowded around them. And they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. And they had long hair, the Babylonians, so long beards, long pointy beards. Yeah, remember the pictures? Long pointy beards. Their robes were not scorched, and there was not even smell of fire on them. They were that protected, like in a magical bubble, basically. Yeah, literally, like you see on films. God protected them completely and utterly from not just the fire, but any effect of the fire was completely didn't affect them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him. And then the king goes on to say, we should worship this God and not other ones. And you can read the rest of the story of Nebuchadnezzar and everything that happened to him in Daniel. But this is my point. If we're going to walk into our hopes and our dreams, into visions, we need to be prepared to stand up for what we believe in. We need to be prepared to stand up for what we believe in. Morally, ethically, we need to be prepared to stand up. And for some of us in this room, we need to actually figure out that which we need to stand up for. Because I think sometimes we kind of hope that if push comes to shove, we'd always make the right decision in a moral or ethical situation. Can I let you know that most people that don't determine beforehand what they're going to do in a certain circumstance tend to do the wrong thing? No, I'll put it this way. They tend to do the easy thing. They tend to take the easy way out. It's a natural human inclination. You kind of need to decide beforehand what you're going to do. You see, these three young men, or youngish men by this stage, had decided before they stood in the crowd, they would not bow the knee to this. They would only bow the knee to Jehovah, to their God, to the God that we serve. That was it. And they'd already figured it out. And if we're going to walk into our hopes, our dreams, and our visions, we need to figure out the things that we're going to stand up for, the things that we believe in before we get there, the best we can. Obviously, we won't be able to tackle it the best we can. We need to figure out the big things that we're going to make a huge fuss about that we're willing to die for. And then the smaller things that we really believe in, but actually, if somebody holds a slightly different point of view that we're not bothered about dying on that hill, it's not important enough. And figure out the difference. If we're going to walk into all our hopes and dreams. You know, for me, the Bible's the truth. It's the word of God. I will die on this one. Okay? Because it's truth. Whatever the Bible says, I'm going to live it. I believe that if I do that, I will walk into the hopes and dreams and the blessings of God. I just do. And so I will. I believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the only way for salvation. And you can say what you want. I don't believe there's many ways to God. The Bible teaches there's one, and his name is Jesus. And he did it by dying on the cross. There's not many things I'll die on the hill for, but there are some of them that I will. Do you know the things that you stand for? And are you willing to die on them? And some of them, like I married Michelle, I was saying this morning, it'd be 30 years in August. And when I got married, I said to Michelle these words, it doesn't matter what you do, love, I will never, ever walk away from you, ever. And it doesn't matter, I will just be with you for the rest of your life or my life, whichever is the shortest. Is that right? Whichever is. I'll just be with you. I will love you. And alongside that, I made an internal promise to myself that I would never look at a woman the way I look at Michelle. And by some miracle, I've managed to keep that all my life. And but I made a decision that that was something I was going to stand on for the rest of my life when I got married. And actually, if we're going to walk into all our dreams and our hopes, there's a whole stack of big things, but also some moral things that we just need to figure out ahead of time. If you're in business, you need to kind of figure out ahead of time what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do in your business life. And if your boss asks you to do something that you know is morally unacceptable, you need to have almost decided ahead of time, I know, boss, you want me to do that, but I can't because I follow Jesus. And therefore, I can't do that. If you want to sack me, then you'll have to sack me, but I can't do it. But we need to, and I believe if you would do that, that God's blessing would flow on your life. I'm utterly convinced that these three young men were blessed for their entire life because they were willing to bet God would come through in their circumstances. And God bless. And even if they died, they would have gone straight to heaven and God would say, well done, awesome, enjoy the riches of heaven and everything that's in it. Well, I've given you two. I do have a few more, but we'll have three more. But if I keep going, we'll be here till after seven, so I'm not going to do that. And I just want to finish with a thought. I'll come back to it next time I talk. I'll finish this message off in 2 weeks' time. So you can hear it twice then, if you want to. And but you know, God loves you. And God does want to, well, he wants to place dreams and visions and hopes in your heart. But he also wants to help you fulfill them. And I'm going to get Pastor Dave up in a second. He's dressed in his T-shirt. No jacket. But what Dave's going to do very simply is give each one of us the chance to renew, or for the very first time, our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with God. See, I believe that God is the one that will truly help you fulfill everything that's in your heart and for you to live a life that is full of joy and contentment and blessing, like I said in the prayer when I started. You know, God wants us to have dreams and visions. He really does, and he wants to help us. And I hope those two things help, and I'll bring some more next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church, or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.